how to hear the voice of God. It's a necessity in this day and hour that we hear the voice of God. It's amazing, you know, how effortless things can become when you hear the voice of God. It's remarkable, and how God does it. I'm still in awe. If all we had to go by was the stories in the Old Testament of how God conquered his enemies through his people just by them hearing his voice, then that would be enough. But we see it in the New Testament, and of course, we're just a continuation of the book of Acts. We are the chapter 29 of the book of Acts. That's what it is. And so the same keys that were available to the people in the old covenant, the Bible says the new covenant we have is a better covenant established on better promises. So however good it got for Abraham, however good it got for Solomon, however good it got for David, it should be better for us. Can you say amen? So that's what we're believing God for in this life. The Bible says God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. And I heard the strategy of the Lord for the nation of India in terms of what he wants to do. Because when I first went there about 3 years ago, I really sensed in my spirit that it was a greater move than the one I had experienced in the western region of Kenya, in the Maasai region. And God really was glorified there, and he continues. That move of God continues even today. And the first time I went over there was 2008, August. But what God is doing in India is probably 100 or 1,000 times greater than that. And there are 65 million Christians in India already. It's a population of 1.3 billion people. There's people everywhere, absolutely everywhere. I mean, there's hardly a square foot that hasn't got a human being on it, and it's a big landmass. But, you know, 65 million, really, for God, it's not enough. I think there should be a church on every street corner in India. Amen. If you see some of the depravity that people have to live through, just absolutely nothing. In fact, the time that three of us went over, myself, Tim, and Junior, went over with Bruce Oliver on one of his missions there. And I don't know if you remember this, Tim, but there was a guy working in the hotel that we stayed at. And I was asking him, what is your name? Now, he was the cleaner, the sweeper, the toilet. You know, he used to clean the toilets and sweep up and everything like that. And I said, sir, excuse me, what's your name? And our interpreter asked him, he said, I don't have a name. Can you imagine being so poor that you don't have a name? I never met anyone in my life before who didn't have a name. And this guy just didn't have a name. He was probably called like you or something. I don't know how they even got his attention. But he didn't even have a name. So poor was he. It's amazing. And so having a name is a luxury. Yeah. Amazing. But I know that God's hand is on that nation. I know that things are going to change for the better. And God gave me the strategy. He said, look, he said, you know, this isn't about the mighty man of God thing. You know, you can go to Africa and people will organize conferences and it will be huge. And they'll put your name on a billboard like the size of this wall here. And I'll never forget when I went over to do one of the crusades in Ghana, and there was like 100 people at the airport, and they all had t-shirts with my face on. That was just, well, I felt like Justin Bieber for about 2 seconds. And the Lord says, sunshine, they haven't come to hear you, they've come to hear me. Just remember that. You're the donkey carrying the presence of God. I said, yes, sir, absolutely. But you see, that's not the strategy for such a nation as India. The Lord told me this. He said, son, he said, when you go in, he said, set the foxes' tails on fire. Now, those of you that don't read your Bible, you won't have a clue what I just said. So read your Bible in the name of Jesus. And every Bible reader said, amen. Amen. Praise God. I woke up this morning just to some testimonies going round in my mind of times that I had heard the voice of the Lord. And I just want to share a couple of them. Right now, in 1993, I took my mum to France. We were just doing a day trip to France, where we got the ferry over to from Dover to Boulogne, and we did some, you know, a restaurant there, and just, you know, just treating my mum as you do. And on the way back, it was about 10:30 at night. We were driving along the M20 to get back to London, and we passed a car on the motorway. Now, I was doing 70 miles an hour, doing my own, minding my own business. But the Lord said, as I saw this car, I saw an old man with his hand out, like waving at traffic. And the Lord said, pull over. Now, I wouldn't usually pull over, because like back in Tottenham, there used to be this help me trick. Anyway, statute of limitations. Praise the living God. And needless to say, it's a risk to pull over. Big one. But the Lord said, pull over. So anyway, I pulled over, I reversed back, and I opened the car doors, the old man and his wife got in, and I said, oh, thank you, thank you. We've been standing there nearly half an hour. And this was before the days when everyone had a phone, you know? And he said, we've been standing there nearly half an hour waving, and nobody was stopping. And I said, well, I said, sir, I wouldn't have stopped either, only because I'm a Christian, and I heard the voice of God telling me to stop and pull over. He said, oh, are you one of them born agains? And I said, yes. He said, oh, our daughter does that kind of thing. So I knew I was onto something good, you know? And so anyway, long story short, I shared the gospel with them, led them to Jesus. The presence of God filled the car as they said the sinner's prayer. It was a wonderful time. And then about a minute and a half after that, we were just talking about nice things. They lived in Seven Oaks or somewhere like that. And then the AA pulled up, and of course they got out, and I drove on my merry way. But I just, you know, I thank God for little things like that, where I'd heard the voice of God and I could understand and discern that it was his voice, because that's what made the change. And I'm saying that to say this, that sometimes strategically in your life, your ability to hear the voice of God will be the determining difference between success and failure. May you be on the successful side in the name of Jesus. Another one, this is a good one. I was on the plane, dear God, I was on the plane going to Ghana. And I was getting off. We were about to disembark. It was a KLM flight. That was an eventful flight, both there and back. And so I'm coming down the steps. I've got this beige color backpack on my back. And I'm coming down the steps off the thing at Accra Airport. And all of a sudden, I hear the voice of God. I hear an alarm in my spirit. I hear the voice of God. He said, claim the blood. So I went to work straight. I don't know what's going on. I said, Father, in Jesus' name. But the way he said it to me, it kind of scared me. So I gripped both sides of the walkway down, coming down the steps as a result. I said, Father, I claim the blood of Jesus over my life in Jesus' name. Lord God, whatever's going on around here. And the next thing I hear, ah, Jesus, like that. There's a woman who lost, I was about five steps down. There's a woman who's lost her footing, and she's coming down head first and smack straight into the back of my backpack. Like that. I mean, proper thud. Fortunately, because of what God had said, I've got both hands on both banisters, and as a result, it didn't knock me, because I would have tumbled. Then there's two of us coming on the third person, and then there's another one after. Do you see what I mean? It would have been a real rock and roll by the time we got to the bottom. And dude, she hit me so hard because she had this foundation on. Dude, I should have bought shares in my local dry cleaner. The number of times, hey, mummy, I had to delete someone's face from my jacket or whatever. Unbelievable. Anyway, I mean, her face was caked, man. And I'd forgotten. I'd forgotten about the incident. I get to the hotel. I take off my backpack, and there's basically a photograph of her face on my back. I must have looked so stupid that whole day, walking around with a backpack with someone's face on my back. It was just unbelievable. But thank God for the voice of God. I don't know where that would have gone. I mean, I had crusades to do, pastors to minister to, leaders to meet and everything like that. And I could have been in an A&E with some plaster cast or other missing the whole thing. But just for that one voice of God, sometimes it's the voice of God that makes the difference. Thank the living God. I think we should thank God for his voice. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, this is a nice one. You can tell I'm missing my wife. The night I met Joey properly, you see, I'd seen her down at, we used to worship at the same church down at Kensington Temple in West London. And I saw, you know, I'd seen her once or twice. I even went to a party in Wembley, just up the road there, where she was at the same party. And I tried talking to her. She totally ignored me. But anyway, you know, God has a way. When you're fishing for the big fish, I said, God has a way. He makes a way with it. Anyway. And the night I met her, God got her attention. Somebody testified just about, you know, what the amount of love they'd seen through my life and everything like that and how it had changed them. And they really wanted to walk in that same love, et cetera, et cetera. And that got, so she's starting thinking, who is that guy? Who is that guy? But literally, as we're up worshiping God because we had communion, we were sending Peter Hazan to Albania. You remember that, Dugbe? That was your goodbye party. Goodbye. Oh, you came back. Okay, no, I'm kidding. His assignment there was done. Wonderful one. And so that was the night I met my wife. And as I was worshiping God, the Lord said to me, he said, this woman is going to be your wife. You're going to love her. You're going to take care of her. You're going to, you know, like just be husband to her. And I felt like, you know, when God makes you husband to someone, husbands, I know this isn't the men's encounter, but we'll do some there as well. But when God gives you an assignment as a husband, you have to remember that she is his daughter. Now, the love I have for my daughter, I'm going to tell the dude straight, whoever my daughter, dude, you're marrying my daughter. Be good. Or buy yourself a bulletproof jacket, CCTV, 3 attack dogs, a baseball bat. I mean, you understand. And that's just me. And if we being evil feel that way about our daughters, how much more our Heavenly Father about his daughters? Husbands, are you listening? Praise God. So now, by God's grace, I'll speak more about the night I met her and what he said, because there's certain things that when you hear them, you can't turn. I couldn't turn to 1 Paulo 6 and see whether I had heard God correctly. Do you see what I mean? So there's certain things that when you hear them from God, you have to leave them with the Lord and allow circumstances to work their way through, right? But I just want to share with you firstly from the book of John, chapter 10. Now, we're talking about how to hear the voice of God. How to hear the voice of God. Now, me personally, really, I'm more of a seer than I am a hearer. There's certain people in ministry, they hear a lot, but they don't see anything. I'm totally the opposite way around. I see loads of stuff. In fact, in India, some of the words of knowledge I got for the people was because I saw them. Because that's a gift that the Bible calls it the discerning of spirits. And you can discern certain things by seeing them. In fact, the word, the Old Testament word for a prophet often was a seer. There was a guy in the Bible called Gad the seer. Why? Probably because he didn't hear a word. He just saw everything. And so thank God for the way that the Holy Spirit releases his gifts among us. But I really do believe that every one of us should be able to hear the voice of God. And it takes practice. It takes discernment. It takes discretion. The Bible says in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians around about 14, it says there are many voices around and none without meaning. You know, you can turn on a radio and you can tune in probably right now. If you had an FM radio, you could probably tune into like 100 stations And then, you know, if you had a DAB, you could probably tune into like 200. So there's signals, there's stuff out there in the natural, and so it is in the spirit. There's all kinds of voices in the realm of the spirit. I remember when I was ministering down in Southeast London for a dear man of God, David Olumuyide, a wonderful man of God who has ministered in the Redeemed Church for quite some time, doing a great work there, particularly in Southeast London and Nigeria. And I was ministering away, and the next thing the Holy Spirit told me, he said, I want you to minister to people, to young girls, young ladies who have suffered under the voice of familiar spirits. And the Lord described it. So I'm preaching, and God is describing this thing to me as I'm preaching the word. So I'm listening and talking at the same time. And he's telling me, he said, there's girls, and they'll go shopping. They'll be on their own. They'll go shopping. And familiar spirits will torment them. They want to look beautiful. They want to beautify themselves. But there's a voice that's speaking to them. You shouldn't buy this thing. You're too ugly to carry this thing off. No one's going to like you. You look the wrong way. You just like, you know, it was like, and I saw what it was for the first time in my life. I saw right then that these spirits that speak to these people in the shopping malls and stuff like that, particularly girls, that they are familiar spirits. And they are trying to push girls into low self-esteem, self-pity, self-hatred, all that kind of thing. And I tell you something, I shared this word after I finished preaching. I shared this word and I said, if this is you, come forward. Dude, I'm not joking you. From there to there, the aisle was full. And it was all girls. I thought, wow, this devil, man, he puts fake voices out there. Counterfeit voices. You see, here's one real quick tip. Pastor P, how would I know if I'm a victim of such things? Okay, right. God's voice, right? His voice lifts you up. His voice builds you up. There's something about the voice of God that edifies you deep from within, right? Your voice. Most of you know your voice. You know your voice speaks to you on the inside. You know, there's a balance there. Well, any other voice that isn't God's voice or your voice, you don't want to be hearing it. Amen. Jesus said this in John chapter 10. And it's a promise. It's one of those things that God gives us by faith in the Bible so that we can believe it, so that we can confess it, and eventually so that we can act on it. Amen. It's really, really important that we understand that this isn't just Jesus being nice. In fact, in this passage of scripture, he's being really brutal. I mean, he is really just doing the dog on these Pharisees and scribes. In John chapter 9 and verse number 40, the Bible clearly states that Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. You know that scripture that we use in John 10:10? He says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Now, we say that about the devil, right? We quote that scripture as though it was Jesus talking about the devil, when really he was talking about the Pharisees. He wasn't only talking about them, he was talking straight to them. He was saying, "You guys are a bunch of thieves and liars." He said, "I'm the good shepherd." He said, "The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy." Now, you imagine being in that meeting. Hey, your hair would be on fire if you were a Pharisee. Because that was the nature that sometimes in Jesus Christ, there's this attack dog nature that comes out of him when he sees wickedness, when he sees unrighteousness, and when he smells the stink of religion. There's something about it in the nostrils of our Savior. When he smells religion, man, he goes for it. Thank God we're not religious. Amen. There's such a huge difference between having a living relationship with God and having a religion. May God deliver us from religion in Jesus' mighty name. So we talk about that scripture in relation to what Jesus is talking about to the devil. And obviously he's talking ultimately about the devil, because earlier on he says, you guys are of your father, the devil. Wow. Imagine that. I mean, they've come to one of his meetings and he thinks, ha-ha, ready, set, boom. And he just gives it to them. That's the kind of God I serve. Oh, Jesus, you are awesome. But look at this. He promises us in chapter 10, verse number 4. I love this. In fact, let me start by verse 3. Sorry. Oh, are you liking the new multimedia thing? Maybe we should clap for the AV team. They worked so hard. All the camera people as well, the video editors, even Amir with his arm in the plaster. Praise God. Now, verse number 3, it says this. Look, he says, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. Jesus said, he said, I am the door of the sheep. The doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. How many sheep do we have today? If you're a sheep in the house, just wave it before the Lord. Yeah, the Lord is my shepherd. That makes us a sheep. Amen. Meh. Our bookshop manager is called Meh. Praise God. To him, the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. Now, this is Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ a liar? Therefore, whether you know it's his voice or not, somewhere along the line, you hear his voice. That's such good news. What a great place to start. Somewhere, looking back over your life, you've heard his voice. Wow. And he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. Next verse. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them and the sheep follow him. Wow, this is Jesus again declaring a promise. The sheep follow him. So the Lord is our shepherd. We, the sheep, follow him. You see, I put it to you, my brother and sister, you think you just came to church this morning, but somehow this scripture says that you followed him here. Someone led you here. The Lord led you here. How wonderful. And it's amazing how he leads. You know, he can lead through the voice of another. He can lead through the web. He can lead through Facebook. He can lead all sorts of different ways. And he just does it. Our God who does it, he's so awesome. So wonderful. So marvelous. And what we have to do is develop our faith more. That we are being led by him. We develop it more. We just plow into that more. Father, thank you for leading me here. Thank you for leading me there. Thank you for showing me this. Thank you. You know, when I remember something that I've forgotten, the first thing out of my mouth is, thank you, Lord. I didn't remember that on my own because I know I'd forgotten it. And somehow I got a reminder to remember it. Has that been your testimony? Wow, that's why we come across so clever, you know. Hallelujah. One of life's little secrets. Praise Jesus. Awesome. Let's look at the next. Let's stay on that verse, but the next thing along, the next promise along, because there's four promises in this whole thing. When he puts forth his own, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. Wow. So there's a knowing. Somewhere in your spirit, you already know the voice of God. Wow. Wow. Somewhere. It can start off with a conscience thing. We know when we're doing right. We know when we're doing wrong. We know when we're doing what we should be doing. And we know when we're doing what we shouldn't be doing. Do you see what I mean? And God can refine that. He can hone that. Father, Lord, thank you so many times that I've made the right choice. Thank you so many times, Holy Spirit, you've led me into this. You lead me by the ways everlasting. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. Father, I thank you that I know your voice. I thank you, Lord God, that you are my shepherd and I know your voice. Sometimes you've got to declare something even when it doesn't feel like you do, because the word says you do. How many times have we had to push through in the area of healing? Lord God, I thank you. By his stripes, I'm healed. Can't string a sentence together because you're so unwell, but somehow, amen, amen. That's the exercising of our faith. Praise God. And look, there's another one. The next verse along, number 5, verse 5. A stranger, they simply will not follow. In fact, in the King James, I think it is, it says the voice of another. Have you ever heard the voice of another? It's the one, it sounds like God, but it doesn't fully line up with his purposes. Have we got that in the King James, that particular verse? Verse number 5. I think it's the King James. The voice of another, I think it says. They say, oh, in fact, you know what? It's there. And a stranger they will not follow because they flee from him, because they know not the voice of strangers. The voice of another, they simply will not follow. So there's 4 confessions there in that passage of scripture that can help us to follow, to know, and to hear the voice of God and to reject the voice of a stranger. You know who the voice of a stranger is. It's that voice. It's the voice of self-pity. That's one of the things. Let me share straight flat out with you. One of the things that I've had to struggle with so much in my life is the voice of self-pity. What a demon that nobody's had it as hard as me. I've had such a hard life. And, you know, I've had a pretty tough life. I wouldn't wish the life I lived on anyone. In fact, what they say about, you know, the difference between working class people and middle class people is the way that they raise our children. And they say, you know, middle class people want to raise their children well and prosperous so that they enjoy the life that they've had. And working class people, they want to raise their children prosperous because they never want their children to have the life they had. Dude, I wouldn't wish the life I had on anyone. My goodness me. I mean, poor. Dude, we left half our stuff. When we moved house, because we used to live in Hornsey before moving to Tottenham, when we left our house in Hornsey, we left half the stuff there. I mean, oh, gosh, if I showed you some of the pictures. I mean, get out the violins. Anyone play the violin here? I will have a whole orchestra of violins. Now, some of you sit in here now because of where you've come from and the background you've had, you're thinking, ha, dude, you had it luxury. You lived in London. You had National Health Service. We had Jesus Help Service. If you didn't recover, you died. That's that. Do you see what I mean? So all this poverty and prosperity stuff, it's all relative. The Bible lays out the standard of when enough is enough. When you've got as much as Abraham, maybe pray about stopping there and you know, but that's the template, so to speak. But my goodness me, and I had this thing, this struggle with self-pity. One time I was struggling. I felt like I was drowning in this thing. Nobody, because, like, you see, self anything, listen to the word self. What does that tell you? Yeah. And that's where the devil plays. Self is the devil's playground. Selfish, self centered, self pity, self hatred, anything like that. Self is the devil's playground. I like that. That should be one of them Pastor P quotes on Twitter or whoever's on Twitter. Self is the devil's playground. Yeah. And nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. You know those stupid songs? Oh my gosh. And then the Lord showed me one individual. Oh my gosh. And the life they'd had made me look like I had a twinkle toes existence. Deluxe. And I repented. I said, Father, I'm so sorry. All this nonsense that I have just wallowed. And you know what? You know what it's like? It's like the kid. You ever have those blow up paddling pools? This is what it looks like in the spirit. Self-pity is like one of them big blow-up paddling pools, and you're sitting there in your paddling pool just playing with experiences that you've had to go through. Poor little you. Hey, that was my big struggle. And it was a voice, and the devil knew how to pull those strings to manipulate that voice. I break every string off his bow in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm sharing that today because, you see, it's a thing that's common to man. Bible says there's nothing overtaking you except that which is common to man. So I know there's people under the sound of my voice. I know there's people watching on live stream and going to watch on YouTube and everything like that that have struggled with the same thing. And we have to be able to nail that one. Father, what happened to me is probably of importance to you, but it means little or nothing to me. As for me, I am dead with Christ, and my life is hidden with Christ in God. End of story. I bury the voice of self-pity forever in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, often we have a mindset concerning the voice of God, the way that we can have a mindset concerning the Holy Spirit. I remember going to a church down in the south of England, and they had this, God forgive me, I probably broke it, I don't know. You know, that happens sometimes. I was in Kenya in a crusade, and they put me right by, you know, these monitors here, and I'm sitting by this monitor, but this monitor is like this big. It's like one of those dub vendor ones we used to have down Ladbroke Grove for the Notting Hill Carnival. And this fallback monitor was so loud. And I said to the guy, I said, please, can you get him to turn it down? The guy went three times to the sound man. Now I'm sitting there with both fingers in both ears, and I can still hear it as clear as day. In the end, I just got fed. I said, in the name of Jesus, I break that thing in Jesus' name. I'm not joking you. 2 minutes later, it caught fire. That's no word of a lie. Yeah. And I sat there thinking, hey, this can go do. Anyway, that was extra praise and worship that day. Oh no, I've lost my train of thought now. Where was I? I need to. Huh? Oh yeah, that's right. We often tend to have a particular mindset. So I'm preaching down in this church in the south of England, and they've got this kind of cutout dove from like the early 80s, like really badly cut out as well. And it's there on the thing. They had this like crossbar across the church hall, and then they've stuck this dove to the thing. And the Lord told me about having the dove mindset. Come, Holy Spirit, come, sweet, gentle dove. But like, what if he wants to come in as a rushing mighty wind and blow your socks clean off? Then what are you going to do with this sweet, gentle dove? Now, I'm not joking you. The thing fell off as I was preaching. Imagine. I think being around me could become dangerous occasionally. Praise God. That's no word of a lie. Yeah, and when I came back the next time, it wasn't there. I don't think they bothered sticking it up. But this is one of the things, you see. We were taught in early, like, charismatic days about, you know, oh, the voice of God, it's the still small voice. You know, we have Elijah in 1 Kings 17, and the Bible says there was a tornado, but God's voice wasn't in the tornado. And then there was a storm, but God's voice wasn't in the storm. And then he said the calm, still small voice. and that represented the voice of God, you see? But the trouble is, if we pigeonhole the voice of God that way, there's going to be some times that we won't be able to hear it. Oh, well, his voice wasn't very gentle. In fact, when that prophet gave me that word, I felt very upset. Yeah, sometimes hearing a prophet is dangerous. It's true. In fact, someone asked me today, you don't prophesy into my life. You don't give me a prophetic word. I was standing there. The Lord said this, tell her to lose 2.5 stone. There's your prophecy. Yes. Yeah. Slim see a girl. Praise Jesus. You see, sometimes is that, you know, the prophetic. I'll never forget, there was some lady in Atlanta. And, you know, that it's a, sometimes it's a risky risk. I got it right, Wafa. It's a risk. Praise God. It's a risk. Psalm 29. Look at what I'm talking about here. Psalm 29. 2.5 stone later. Praise Jesus. Psalm 29, let's start with verse number 1 really quick because my time is nearly over. Ascribe to the Lord, O sons of the mighty. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in holy array. The voice, now look at this, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The glory of God thunders, or the God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. Keep going on. Verse 6, he makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Syrian like a wild ox. Go. The voice of the Lord hews out flames of fire. So there's sometimes that you need to hear the voice of God so that he can hew out flames of fire from within you. The Bible says he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. Praise God. So there's things that God wants to say to you in your life to get that thing sorted. You don't know why it is in the beginning he's telling you, but obey it. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Sometimes sacrifice is easy, but sometimes obedience, hey! When I'm on that treadmill and I've submitted my life to Mr. Junior in the gym every Friday and I'm treading that thing out and sometimes I don't want to be there. Sometimes it's the last place on earth I want to be there with my shorts and my socks and my white legs that look like, hey, like, whiter than this. In fact, I don't see anything as white as my legs. Sometimes I'm running on that thing just looking stupid, but I don't care. God, you've told me, submit yourself to this man and push under his authority. The voice of the Lord hews out flames of fire. Next verse. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes. May God shake you out of your wilderness in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Next verse. The voice of the Lord makes the deer to calf. He strips the forest bare. Look at this. And everything in his temple cries glory. Wow. May God deliver us from the mindset of what his voice is supposed to be like in Jesus' name. Now, let me tell you, one of the things we've got to do, if we don't know this voice, we will never get right that voice. Never. You think about it. We are the most distracted generation on planet Earth in the history of man. We are the most informed and the least transformed generation that there has ever been in terms of the capability to transform. I watch my children sometimes on their phones. And I've noticed, oh my gosh, and I'm thinking, Lord, I'm still responsible for these guys. I have to hammer this. Well, I mean, they can't watch a movie without being on their phone 10 times. What did they say? The same neurological, did you hear that thing about phones and cocaine? That some of these things that are made, some of these games that are made now are as powerful. Some of these apps like Facebook and Snap and Twitter and Instagram and everything like that, they hit the same part of the child's brain as cocaine does. Highly addictive. Yeah. So we got, sometimes you got to block all that out. I remember, Harry Greenwood, great prophet, great apostle of blessed memory from decades ago in the 80s, I heard him preach. And he was saying he had to seek the Lord on a particular issue. So he went on a three-day fast and he locked himself in a room for 3 days with nothing but water. Locked in a room, no distraction, no nothing. He said it took him a full day to get his thoughts into that room. Because we're so geared. The wheel's spinning. All that time around. That's why I love the strong, fervent prayer in this house. It can clean the atmosphere of a lot of that nonsense. Praise God. Thank God for the half nights and the all nights where we really push and just wipe out and delete those distractions. In Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet. Let's thank God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your Logos word, that which causes us to be in a place where we can hear your voice. Knowing you by your word. Knowing you by your word. So that your voice can become clearer in our lives. Wisdom, you are our sister. Understanding, you are our close, intimate friend. Thank you, Lord, for this weaponry that you've given us. The ability to hear your voice. The ability to discern your voice. My sheep know my voice. They hear my voice. They follow my voice. The voice of another, they simply will not follow. We thank you for that blessed promise, Heavenly Father. And we claim it as a material reality for everyone under the sound of my voice. We'll hear you, the great shepherd of our souls. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen and amen.